Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Things are getting interesting with the NCAA because we have been talking about this, it seems like now, for the past few years. And a change is coming one way or the other. And obviously there's been a lot of movement toward change in the already, where players will be able to capitalize on their likenesses and their names and things like that, which I think is a great move. But players want more. Players want more, and you've got players in the Pac-12 who put out a list of demands in the Players Tribune. And remember, we talked about it a few weeks ago when this first came out. Rudy Carpenter we had on the air, and he's a former Division I player. He'll join us actually at the bottom of the at the last hour, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 Pacific, and he'll be able to give us the inside scoop. But the players have issued a list of demands through the Players Tribune, and they said if they don't get them, they will boycott and not play. And just a few of the demands, I mean, they want 50% of the conference revenue divided amongst the players. So if the Pac-12 football programs bring in, as a conference, bring in, say, $1 million, obviously it's a lot more than that, but $1 million, they want 500,000 of it divided amongst the players. They want 6 years of health care after they graduate.
Which is more than they get in the NFL, Chris.
Exactly.
Think about that.
We've talked about it. We wish the NFL players would push for some of that. And that is what's so interesting, Rob, is that these players, most of these guys won't make it to the NFL.
Right, only a handful of players. You know how many guys play college football? They don't even get a cup of coffee or a sweet roll in the NFL, Chris. They don't.
Yep, and they're standing up and making these demands. And also some COVID protections, obviously, which they clearly should get. So that's it in a nutshell. There's like 17 demands. We won't go through every single one of them. But what is your general thought? Do you like the audacity, the ambition of the players, or do you think they're overreaching?
No, I love it. In the climate we're in the world which is ever-changing, Chris, and maybe people feel a little guilty, whatever you want to use as the term, right? Some of these corporations, some of these organizations on the way that they've treated black people, there's an opportunity for some of these players to get something. And I think they're going for it. And when you're in negotiations, nothing is ridiculous. You ask for the moon and you hope they give you the stars, Chris. That's what you ask for.
Right.
You don't ask for minimal. If you ask for minimal, they'll give you, it's always going to be less than what you ask for. Right?
Right.
Always.
Right.
So
right.
Ask for the moon. I get it.
You and I asked for the moon when we started the show. We got some tree leaves.
Exactly.
Not quite the stars, some tree leaves.
That's all we got.
No, actually, we did pretty well. But
we did all right. No, we're not complaining.
Yes,
but
yes,
you know what I mean.
You.
Right. So I get it. I think the movement and the time is what's important, Chris, that this maybe wouldn't play a few years ago. You remember the players at Northwestern tried to organize that was struck down by a court. You know, there were some players who were really into it. Others were lukewarm. This seems to me like to be the real deal because it's organized. They have specific demands, not just making like, you know, well, we want to cut it a pie. No, they're telling you what they want, you know, exactly what they want.
Well, one thing I really like is one of their demands is that 2% of conference revenues would be directed by the players to support financial aid for low-income black students and community initiatives and development programs and things like that. And I got to be honest, Rob, I think that's awesome. Because when I went to college, and I was fortunate not to be in this situation, but several of the black students, a lot of the black students, and I went to Oberlin College.
Right.
A lot of the black students, every semester, it was a concern financially. They were always in the bursar's office and all the offices they needed to be in, figuring out their money. And it was dire for a lot of them.
Right.
And so I'm sure it's that way throughout the country. And so I think something like that would be tremendous. I salute the players for asking for that. But, Rob, what I think is going on is, and I got to be honest, even some of my, what is possible has even, like, my horizons have been broadened. Because I think a lot of people are seeing that a real sea change could be afoot. You know, and
I agree with that.
You know,
I don't think that it's as far fetched as people would want to make it out. Not given the stakes, Chris, and what's involved. If they shut it down, how much revenue will be lost by these universities and not recovered? I mean, they have some clout. Don't act like they don't. I know there was a guy in the San Diego Union wrote a column, basically, you know, tell the players to take it or leave it, or that approach.
Right.
That sounds good. You can stick your chest out. And, Chris, that might have worked before. I don't know if that's working right now.
No, I hear you. And I read it, too. It was a good column. I'd love to get him on. Maybe we can get him on. But, you know, he made some good points, but he missed a little bit, too. And it's interesting. One thing they cited, there's an article by a group of professors led by Drexel University. And some people, a professor in the College of Business at Drexel, which is in Philadelphia. And Rob, they said, here's one thing they write. They talk about, here's the title of it, how the NCAA's empire robs predominantly black athletes of billions in generational wealth. And they say, they're really saying how they, according to them and their studies, and these are intelligent people, they say that the average football player in a Power Five conference, if he were paid according to, you know, what he generates, the average player, not the superstar, not necessarily the starters, the average player, over 4 years of his scholarship, it would be worth $1.3 million.
Which is a lot more than the 4 years of paid tuition.
Yes.
And even there, Chris.
About $300,000 at a top school.
At a top school. And even then, and I'm not, when the schools have classes with the football and basketball players, to mix in another player or two in a class ain't nearly the same, Chris, financially. You know, like on the ledger, you might say that's worth $300,000. But do you know what I mean by adding another kid or two in classes that are already established and already have 30 or 50 students? It's not the same.
Especially
value.
When you know you're making, according to this, $1 million.
That's
off
what
of
I'm
you.
Saying. Right.
You're
right.
making, you're profiting $1 million. You paid for him for $300 million. They say for basketball in the Power Five is $2.2 million. Obviously, there's fewer players. So $2.2 million
fewer
per
players,
player.
Right. Yep.
And I think one of the interesting things they point out, and I think this is where the players, because obviously, look, the players aren't experts on all of this stuff, although they've consulted them for this. But one thing, Rob, you know that they're looking at are the salaries for the coaches, the salaries for the athletic directors,
those guys
and the
are
salaries
making
for the conference commission. They're making millions.
Millions. Some of these coaches... It's, Chris, it used to be, you know, in the old days, you were a state employee as a coach, and you were paid like a top professor, right, at the college.
Yep.
And now they make so much
They're
money.
They're the highest paid state employees in the state.
They make more than the governor. They make more than the governor.
They have it in here, this article from Drexel. In the SEC, is basically $5 million is the average salary. In SEC, Big Ten 4.4, Big 12 4.2, ACC 3.7, Pac 12 3.1. That's what players are looking at. The commissioners making basically the same amount of money. Big Ten commissioner 5.5 million. Pac 12 commissioner 5.2 million. And then the athletic directors, Power Five, average $1 million. That's what players are looking at. They're looking at the college basketball coach who's got the $2 million a year deal with Nike, right?
And he doesn't wear the sneakers.
No.
And he doesn't even wear them.
He wears them maybe to walk around on during practice.
Right. The kids wear them.
Right. And so that is what they're looking at. And don't tell us it's amateur sports when the coaches are making this type of money.
And the same, I've always said this. Chris, if when I was at Southern Connecticut Division II, and you were a student there and there was a basketball game, right? If you showed your student ID, you would get into the field house, right, to watch the game.
Yep.
That's amateur sports, where you're on campus, you show your ID, right?
That's right.
And you get into
the
game.
And you can go to the game, right?
And
you go,
anybody else would have to pay $2 or $3 or whatever we were charging back in the 80s. But my point is, when you're playing at these arenas, people are buying season tickets and paying top dollar to go to these games. That's not amateur sports.
Right. Even for the students, because my daughter went to Michigan and she had the season tickets for the football games. And it's, you know, you get a nice little student discount, but it's still hundreds of dollars.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, Rob, a lot of talk around the NBA about how the New Orleans Pelicans have been, some would say, babying, some would say managing Zion Williamson. And he is, of course, a lot of people, I think including yourself, feel like the NBA even brought 22 teams to Orlando, that the NBA even changed its rules where if you're within four, if the ninth seed's within four games of the eighth seed.
I can't believe you said that.
They get to try to make play. Why?
Because
I'm not saying it's true, but you
tomorrow,
I'm just saying
tomorrow
that's what you've
for
been
Trash
saying.
Talking Tuesday on Deadspin.com, I'm ripping the NBA because they tried to force in the Pelicans
you
by
got
doing
a lot
that.
In there. Okay, I'm going to save it for the next segment.
Yes.
You got a lot of nerve ripping the NBA. All right, but anyway, you know, they Zion played 15 minutes his first game and 14 minutes the next game. And he's on what they're calling burst restrictions, which is he can play in 3-4 minute bursts. Although I think he's played a little more tonight. But they're up. New Orleans up 57-49 with about less than a minute left in the first half. Rob, what's your take on this, Zion?
It is peculiar. It's almost like, do they not want to make the playoffs, Chris? Am I missing something?
I don't think that's it.
No, but he's how old is he? 20?
He's 20.
He's 20,
Chris. You would think
Chris?
He was 40 the way he's
There's
being
eight
managed.
Regular season games. You're going to play maybe eight regular season games. Somehow, if they got into the playoffs, maybe they play in the first round, right? Chris, how many games is it? He's been off for 4 months. What?
I've said it, Rob. Look.
I don't get it.
He was injured in high school. We know he was injured at Duke. He was injured in summer league. He was injured in the preseason. He missed more than half of the season. He comes back after a 3.5 month layoff and can't get through the practices. Okay, it was just cramps, but still. And now you bring him back. There's no injury been reported. And he's only able to play 15 minutes. He's 20 years old. This is odd. And what I've concluded, Rob, what I've concluded, and I let me preface it by saying what everybody knows, of course, I'm not a doctor. And I know there are people in that organization and in the league that think, not everybody, but some, that his girth, his size, his weight is a big part of his effectiveness. But just watching it from everything I said, watching the way they're handling him, I feel like he probably needs to drop 30 pounds.
Wow.
Just because Charles Barkley said he dropped 50 when he was in the NBA. When he was a young player in the NBA, he had to drop 50 pounds to be at his optimum. And I'm just saying, what is going on? It'd be one thing if it was a Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Blake Griffin situation where you're just out. You can't play. You're out for a year or even a couple of years like Embiid, right? You have an injury. But this is just management. This is low management gone awry to the nth degree. And I'm just saying it from my perspective. It looks like maybe you need to try to get him to lose some of that weight so that he can play consistently. Because that's the problem. He hasn't shown, Rob, and we've said this, he hasn't shown that he can play like 4 months straight of high-level basketball without being injured.
Not yet. And people saying that, Chris, he's being babied and he's trying to deny, the organization is trying to deny that he's being babied. But I have heard that he has an endorsement deal with Pampers, so it might be true.
You need Alex to
Alex, where
that
are
up
you?
So
I need
funny.
You.
What's up, Rob?
Pampers, baby. Oh, man.
Rob, I put in so much effort to that last stand-up. I ain't got more.
No, he got nothing left, man.
You tapped out for the rest of my career.
I need at least two more weird years, man.
But look, let me say this. Zion can score. I mean, that is one thing. That dude can score. He's played 10 minutes tonight. He's got 11 points. And happily, he's got 5 rebounds. Because he hasn't been a great rebounder thus far, so I'm glad to see him attacking the glass. But
those,
it's almost
do those
like
count
he's
if you
saying,
get your own misses? No,
they count. Hey, dude, they do count. Moses Malone. But I think he's saying, look, if I'm only going to play 20 minutes, I'm going to make the most out of it. In 10 minutes, he took 11 shots.
That's a lot.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
The Houston Rockets, we know they're going small ball. They have looked good. They've been one of the more impressive teams in the bubble. They're 2-0. They beat Dallas. They beat Milwaukee Sunday, which was a huge win.
That was
a very impressive
win,
yes.
Come back.
Do you think that they're actually a legitimate threat in the West? And if they're a threat in the West, they're obviously a threat to win it all.
When you say legitimate threat or threat, are they a threat? Sure, they're a threat. But the history of Harden in the postseason doesn't make me want to believe, Chris, because we've seen him do what he's done. Until you get to those big moments when, for whatever reason, it doesn't work out. He doesn't get the calls that he gets all year. Have we seen this movie or not? Or am I making it up?
No, that's true. I mean, look, he's certainly had some huge games, but to your point, he's had a number of clunkers. There's no – and not
right,
just
big,
game two, you know.
Right, big
time clunkers.
We're
talking about
clunkers.
The biggest games, yes. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's interesting. On Undisputed this morning, Skip was saying he thinks that because of the rest, the 3.5, 4 months off or whatever it was, that he thinks Westbrook and Harden tire in the playoffs. Like, you know, they play the 82 games. There's such a load on their shoulders that when they get to the playoffs, they kind of get worn down and don't play as well. He thinks that the rest is now going to eliminate that factor and that they could both play incredibly well. Now, he's not going as far to say they'll win the West. And I'm like you. Look, I think they're the third best team in the West. I think they will lose to either of the L.A. teams that they're going to meet in the second round. But if I had to pick an L.A. team that I think they would really push and have at least a shot at beating, I would say it would be the Lakers. I think the Lakers' Achilles right now without Avery Bradley is they have trouble guarding the perimeter. And obviously that's the strength of the Houston Rockets.
Right.
And so I think they would be a bad matchup for the Lakers. Again, I would pick the Lakers unless the Lakers just totally look terrible for the rest of these 8 games. But yeah, I would pick the Lakers, but I think the Rockets would have a chance. I don't give them much of a chance at all against the Clippers.
I don't either. When I look at the Clippers and the games that they played, Chris, and I know they're not going to make threes like that. That was unbelievable, record-setting.
Right.
But even the game they lost to the Lakers without two of their better players.
Their third and fourth best players.
I mean, they barely lost. What I mean? And they had more turnovers in the bakery in that game. I mean, they should have gotten run off the court, right,
That's
to be
right.
fair.
No, they look, they're tough. They're really only question about them is, you know, how much will their chemistry develop if they can play together? You know, if they can finally get their full complement.
But when they do play together, what is their record? We've seen it
11
before.
And
like 15
one.
And 1 or whatever.
11 and 1, I think, when they've got everybody.
I mean, they don't lose.
They're tough.
So they're tough. But yes, Houston is always, because of the caliber of player James Harden is, and of course Westbrook, the caliber, yes, when you're talking about playing them, if you take them lightly or you're not ready for them, could they beat you? Yeah, they could beat you, Chris. They could.
Yeah. And I think what's interesting is everybody's talking about what would, and none of us are picking them to win it all, but everybody's asking, if they were to win it all, what would it mean for James Harden's legacy?
Oh, that would it would change everything.
It'd be huge. But here's my thing, Rob. I agree with you. It'd be humongous for him. But what about Westbrook? It's not out of the question that Westbrook could be the one to lead him. I mean, they're both going to play well. But right now, Westbrook's 31 points, 8 assists, 8 rebounds in the bubble. And he's taking more shots than Harden. I think what I like about them, Rob, is that since they've gone small, Westbrook and Harden are more of a 1-2 punch versus a definitive number one and a definitive number two. And I think they're better because of it. So I think Westbrook could shine just as much as James Harden.
I don't disagree, but I still think it's about Harden to me, Chris, because of all the bad ones, the clunkers you talked about. Do you know what I mean? Like, and what's the big thing? In the playoffs, they won't give him the calls that he normally gets, which puts him at the line, and he makes all these free throws that go along with the threes from the perimeter.
You make an interesting point. Let me ask you this. So let's say hypothetically, Houston won the championship. And Westbrook was the finals MVP. He just had a better series, but Harden was still great. Would you still, like when Steph didn't win the MVP, everybody still viewed it as his team. When Kawhi won it in 2014, nobody took anything away from Duncan. It was still his team. Would you view it like that, that it's still Harden's team, but Westbrook just had a better series? Or would you feel like Westbrook may be their best player, or at least is equal, or you know what I mean?
I think Harden is the better player. I do. Westbrook, we've seen Chris at one point he couldn't make any jumpers. Like,
well, he can't shoot very well.
Yeah. Right. But I'm just saying, so it's hard for me to look at him and think that he's the best player on that team when you think about, you know, Harden's skill and what he's able to do and his range, you know, and whatnot. I think Harden's the better player. Westbrook, I love the way he plays. He plays hard every night. He does a lot of other things and plays with purpose. But that wouldn't change my mind. It would be like Harden's the better player, but Westbrook came up bigger.
Yeah, if you force me to pick between the two, I probably go Harden. But I think it's close. And I do think, like, everybody's talking about what it would mean for Harden's legacy if he won a championship. I think Westbrook would be undeniable. Like, if he won a championship as a, you know, as the lead guy, or, you know, won the MVP, because he's got those three triple double seasons. You know what I mean?
My goodness, he won
a championship and three straight years of triple doubles.
And the thing that was impressive, and we talked about it before, and I always give him credit when people try to poo-poo or discount his triple-doubles, is their record was way better when he got the triple-doubles. They weren't empty, where he's just putting up numbers, Chris, and they had a losing record or were just a 500 team. They played better and won games. So I respect his triple-doubles.